there. This is Jo McGarry. Welcome to our podcast. A little different from Radio Mojo, the radio show. The podcasts are meant to be a more private, more intimate, more in-depth look behind the scenes with our guests and continuing to bring you the best of eating, drinking and living in Hawaii. If you want to know more about what we do and our work specifically with restaurants and food clients, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and this podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or any of the other places where you like to get your podcasts. Enjoy, and thanks for being with us. Around about, well, really probably about the end of January, things get a little bit crazy at Murphy's Bar and Grill. If anybody knows Don Murphy, which many of you listening will, because he's just a great part of the restaurant scene in Hawaii, then you'll know that Murph gets a little busy and everyone kind of tiptoes around Murphy's for the weeks leading up to St. Patrick's, because it really is, it's the biggest beer festival, without question, in Hawaii. We're not talking to Murph right now because he's super busy, but I am talking to Dave Power of Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits about beers, and we're in a quiet corner at Murphy's. Hi, Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Jo. How are you?
I'm good. No, I'm right. So it's like a few weeks before, a month before, there's this whole different atmosphere around Murphy's because you know it's just going to be so busy.
Yeah, for sure. I think you do see some people that come in and they're anticipating St. Patrick's Day, so they come back and they have some Jameson and they're drinking some beers. But you also, all the behind the scenes is definitely, there is a lot going on. There's a lot of moving pieces.
And for you, as someone in the industry, this is a very busy time of year. Is this kind of like Christmas?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a whole couple of months. In Hawaii, we see, actually last Saturday, we saw the beginning of beer festival season. Mm-hmm. The Hawaii Brewers Guild through their first independent event at the Bishop Museum, which was an incredible success. I think there were 12 breweries there. The guild asked everyone to make beers with local ingredients, and it was really fun. So I got to hang out with Tom from Big Island Brewhouse and just meet, you know, a couple thousand people drinking craft beer, and it's always one of those things that's pretty great and pretty
hard
fun.
Hard not to have a good time in that.
It's pretty hard not to have it, yeah. Indeed, for sure.
So we're aware it's beer season, which really goes over a few months all the way through the summer. Now, we have some really nice beer festivals. If you're coming into Hawaii for a vacation, it's definitely something you should look out to calendar.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're planning your, it's one of those things, yeah, for sure. If you Google when you're coming and see what's happening, those might be something you might want to spend, you know, part of your vacation on.
Principally because our beer is so good now. I mean, you know, a while ago you wouldn't have said that. You would have said, oh, there's a beer festival, it's quite nice, lots of home brewers. But, I mean, our beer is so good now.
Well, indeed. And some of, you know, Kona is coming up next Saturday, or a week from Saturday. Wait, I don't know when this is going to be broadcast. It's March 9th. Mm-hmm. And that one particularly is great. Not only is it an incredible festival, but it's one of the highlights of my year. But also, it's March 9th, so you have all these brewers from the mainland who are pretty well sick of snow, especially in Northern California and Oregon this year in particular. So they come out and they really enjoy that. And so even sometimes we don't even get those beers out here, but they show up and you get a chance to meet the representatives and drink their beer.
Very cool. And do you think as our beer scene has grown and become more sophisticated and people have higher expectations now of Hawaii beers, that's encouraged even more brewers to want to come and be part of the beer scene?
I do, and I also see events surrounding the actual brewers festival. So I think, you know, a couple of years ago, you would just kind of see the festival as a one-day, you know, ceremony. For Kona, Humpy's actually on the south side of Kona has events starting this Saturday and going all the way through the day after the festival. So they have Kona Beer Week. And so you get a chance to meet other brewers and taste other beers. You know, usually it's two beers per brewery at the festival. We're pouring 10 beers from Big Island Brewhouse on Wednesday night at Humpy's on the 6th.
That's really cool. So it's a tourist event. It's a local event. And really, it's a showcase event for what's happening in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a great time.
Who are you most excited about locally? I mean, I know you can't like have your favorites because it's like your favorite children, but I mean, who is really doing exceptional work, and who's doing the most different in terms of experimentation?
Oh wow, that's a great question. I'm definitely a bit of a like, I like the classics when I look at beers. You know, I like brewers that kind of reach out to how things were and their take on them. Might be a local ingredient or might be a little, you know, tweak here and there, but they're not going super outside of the realm of things.
For example?
I think Big Island Brew House, I mentioned them a couple times already today, but he makes some really classic German-style beers, makes some really classic Belgian-style beers, and I think those are really great. I think Aloha Beer Company does some great, really class, true to style beers. I think that's really exceptional. But there's so many, you know, the young guys at Waikiki are great, making some great beer. Over on the other side of Oahu, Lani Kai Brewing Company has been working with capturing some wild yeasts.
I love that. I was going to ask what you think about that, but I love the fact that they're capturing the wild yeast and they're not afraid to experiment and bring out those flavors, and I think it's very exciting what they're doing.
Yeah, me too. And I think the guys that are pushing everybody the most are probably the guys from Beer Lab. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always making some fun beers, and there's some stuff all, even if you don't like beer, you might find some beers in there that they're doing that are really rad, really interesting.
Do they consider themselves really a lab? I mean, is that the whole thing? They're like looking at it from the point of view like a chemistry experiment.
I think they started into this with a really technical background, and I think they were treating it that way. But I think they've kind of gone into more of a, well, I don't know. That's probably a better question for them. I do think they started that way. They were learning.
More professorial about beer than.
Yeah, and they were getting really, they are really, geeky in the best possible way about yeast strains and trying to make, when they built their brewery, it's a 7-barrel system, but then they have 3.5-barrel fermenters, so they were able to make one batch of beer, split it up, and then make two different variations on the thing, so that's the experimentation side of it.
Do you get more pleasure out of drinking, like, something that has been created in the perfect style, like a Pilsner, for example, or a pale ale, or, you know, something that's really classic? Do you get more enjoyment out of that, seeing somebody new creating a classic, than you do out of seeing something that's just been created as a new beer, new wild, wacky flavor? What's the enjoyment level for you as a connoisseur?
I don't know that I would necessarily put that filter on it. As long as the beer is great or good, I think that's really important. My favorite part about beer really is the people.
Uh-huh.
And having a beer with somebody else is kind of that's the point, you know? And I think that's what festivals are really great about, because you end up meeting the people who made the beer. You get to meet people who enjoyed the beer. You get to, and you know, on Saturday, there were a couple thousand people at the Bishop Museum, all drinking craft beer, and they all, you know, paid a fair amount of money to show up and meet these brewers and taste these beers. And some of those beers, you know, that's the only time they'll ever be poured next to each other. So
that's a nice way to look at it. It's so convivial. And, I mean, what a great location, too, for a beer festival, Bishop Museum.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It started out a little bit hot, and it got a little bit colder, so it was good for warm weather beers, and it was good for some of the bigger, heavier beers kind of towards
perfect,
the later.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What's to look forward to? I mean, we've just mentioned that there's beer festivals coming up. We know St. Patrick's is just around the corner. We know that everyone has their favorite things at the Drinkhouse St. Patrick's. Any recommendations for that day? If you're not going to make it down to Murphy's with the however many thousands of people it is now, I mean, 10 is probably a conservative estimate.
Yeah, maybe at a time, 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, over the entire morning till night, who knows how many people are here. How about if you're having, like, you know, just a quiet night at home after a heavy day of work, what are you doing to celebrate? What should you be drinking?
Well, I used to have this theory that on St. Patrick's Day, I would go to Mexican restaurants, and on Cinco de Mayo, I would go to Irish pubs. But I don't think that's true anymore. Again, going back to the people, I'm not actually honored enough to full disclosure, I'm honored enough to be working down here at St. Patrick's, at Murphy's for St. Patrick's. So we'd love to see anybody that wants to come down. And there's live bands, you know, there's a cakey tent in the afternoon, so there's a way you can hang out and have an adult beverage while your kids have a great place to stay. I think that ends at 5 or 6, so you don't have to expose your kids to a little bit of the shenanigans that happen later in the day.
Right.
And I think it's just, but there's stuff, you know, every island has a place, you know, it's find the place that's comfortable.
So true. Or you can always get your favorite Irish beer or whiskey and take it with you, and just know that everybody down here is going to be having a great time. Well, it's fun to know that you'll be working here, so enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
And so the next beer festival on our calendar is, what should we get ready for?
What's next? I know Kauai is in April. I believe. Oh, I'm not going to say that because I don't know that for sure. Maui is always a really fun time. I believe that's in May. And then there's Hilo, which is a little bit smaller one, but
very nice though.
I've never been. This year's going to be the first year I go, and all of the breweries Hilo. That tell me, they say that's kind of the underground favorite of
Hilo. Does everything the best? I mean, the best farmers market, some of the best food. I do think that they have an incredible attitude. Now, we do have some good news for brewers, and we're going to bring this to you as one of our next podcasts, hopefully, if we can catch him. But Ben Love is coming into town, and he is probably one of my favourite of the craft brewers interviewers. He's just from Gigantic Brewery, and boy, do they sort of catch to their name, yeah.
Well, oddly enough, they're actually a pretty small brewery, but Ben himself is a pretty
big—he's
a pretty big personality for sure, and one of my favorite humans. I always describe them as using their brewing powers for good. You know, they support visual artists, they support musicians, they only export outside of Oregon to Japan, Hawaii, and Copenhagen, and that's just because they like to travel to Japan, Hawaii, and Copenhagen. They're really great people, and they make really exceptional beer.
So make sure that we get a chance to chat with Ben, if we can, for our next podcast. That'd be lovely.
For sure.
I have just spotted Don Murphy, and I'm going to try and interview him and tag it onto the end of this podcast, which is going to be really fun.
That'd be exceptional.
Thank you, Dave. It's always lovely to chat with you.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Take care. Said at the beginning of this when I was chatting to Dave, it's a really busy time, and I think people who know Don and Marion try at this time of year to sort of respectfully keep out of the way.
We try to keep out of each other's way, mostly.
Well, come on now, it's just really, it's become, I know it's like routine for you, because it's how many years now?
30, this is our 32nd.
32nd year, so you do have some of it down, but it's still such a huge event, right?
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's terrific, and, you know, this is about the time when I'm ready to say I'm never doing this again, and then I start to get really excited, so.
to give it some perspective. It started as a relatively just small kind of celebration for St. Patrick's.
Right.
What, a couple of hundred people?
Oh, yeah, it was just in the restaurant the first year, and then the next year we went out onto Merchant Street. We did that for about 5 or 6 years, and then we went on to Merchant in Nu'uanu for about another 15 years, and now this will be our 20th year in using the parking lot across the street as well as Merchant in Nu'uanu.
And it's growing kind of from within, too, hasn't it? Because even though you've spread out across streets and parking lots, you've also added so many things to the festival. So,
yeah.
You know, you've now got, I mean, you have all different kind of food vendors.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many, I think, judging by the age of my children, it must have been 15 years ago you started that achy tent.
Right.
It was really fun.
Yep.
You've really sort of added a lot of things. It's grown organically, really.
It's true. It's been terrific, yeah. And every year we try to come up with something new and fun. It makes it more fun for us and for the people as well.
So what's new this year, then?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still thinking.
You have to wait to get an inspiring
surprise, yep.
Of course, one of the biggest things that people come down for is corned beef and cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Give us those kind of statistics that we get every year of how much do you sell, how much do you
cook. We'll go through that week 2,500 pounds of corned beef and cabbage
plus. Now, what does that look like? Like, if we're going to, if people go to their local grocery store, they see, you know, these.
A brisket
mm-hmm. of corned beef, and mm-hmm. that weighs about what?
Probably about 6 to 8 pounds.
Okay. So you're talking about how many of them?
Oh, Lord, we get, I don't know how many cases of it, but it's 63 cases, and each case has probably 4 pieces, so it's, or more, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
45 pounds in each case.
It's good. We've got some help from the
peanut section.
Over there. It's good to know from Alec. So massive quantities of food. How far in advance do you have to prep it?
Oh, we start with the corned beef. We'll cook on Tuesday?
Yes.
Cook Tuesday, trim Wednesday, slice Thursday, and then sits Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday it goes.
In terms of numbers, we know there's just thousands, and people just come down from morning to afternoon mm-hmm. through evening. I think people now have their favorite times to come, right? So you see certain people who come right when you open. You see people who always go on the trolley, right?
Right, yeah. And as they get older, the people that we know, they come earlier.
And then they need to be on the trolley.
Yeah.
So in terms of a festival, did you ever have any idea that something that started so small would become something just so big and so beloved? I mean, people really look forward to this day.
Yeah. No, I never had any idea. And it's become such a big part of our life and our year. And I mean, I have people that, you know, a lot of people that have marriages that have started here, that have people have met their bride. And we've had a few that probably started with the end as well.
Yeah, but you've had proposals.
Oh, yeah.
Had all kinds of
Well, one of my bartenders one year got up on top of the bar in the middle of lunch and proposed to to Leslie. It was JJ and Leslie. Yeah. And then a lot of proposals here. A lot of people come in and say, had my first date here. Now we're married.
That
really
has real meaning, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It makes us feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that you also have people who come, I mean, remarkably, who come from far afield.
Oh,
yeah. They make a point of traveling to Hawaii for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. A lot of neighbor island people come in, and people from the mainland. They come every year. You know, that this is their deal to get away and come to Hawaii. And then, let's just tie it in with St. Patrick's Day and have a ball.
I sometimes ask chefs this question because I know for me, when I go into restaurants at a certain time of day, it's always my favorite time to be there. And for me, it's right in the morning when everything's starting to happen really quietly in the kitchen, when you can see the prep and everyone's kind of relaxed before the whole thing starts. For you, is there a moment during St. Patrick's Day where you just stand back and go, wow, I love this?
Yeah. I think it's, I kind of liken it to, if you can imagine a funnel, and you got something in the funnel and you start pushing it down and it's hard to go through and pushing it down and pushing it down. And about 5 or 6 in the afternoon, plop, it all comes out and then it happens and you go, there's nothing I can do now. Just let it happen.
It just flows all the way through. Yeah, it's great. If you have never been to Murphy's Bar and Grill for St. Patrick's Day, I really, first of all, don't know where you've been. But if you're listening locally, then you'll know that this year, St. Patrick's Day is on a Sunday. Yes.
Yep.
Best day of the year, I think, to have it.
It's just Saturday and Sunday are great because, you know, people can get out and they can get home early. And everybody, please be careful if you're going to come down and celebrate.
Whoa.
Get a cab.
So
Lyft. We're doing a thing
ways.
We're doing a thing with Lyft. Lyft's got a great discount program this year with us. So, and there's posters all over where you can see the discounts and how you can call them and everything.
And so much easier to do that considering your festivities are in all the
and parking are tough. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So grab a ride, grab a friend, come on down. The morning starts early here. That trolley leaves from here at what, 11 in the morning?
Trolley leaves a little before 11, yeah, and they need to talk to Karen Winpenny and have reservations on that. But it's pretty much full up, I think, already.
With the same people.
But the parade's great. If they're in Waikiki, we'll go watch the parade. It's good fun.
And then come on over to Murphy's morning, afternoon, or night. There'll be a place for you inside or out. Well, Murphy, 32 years on. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll hear you worrying about it this year next year, I'm sure, as well.
I hope so.
Thank you, Bill Murphy.
Thank you.
The owner of Murphy's Bar and Grill, St. Patrick's Day approaches.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, remember, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'll see you next time.